This is Central Time. I'm Mike Arnold.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, Noah Ovshinsky rounds up the top stories in Wisconsin news and politics.
First, music played a big role in the United States during the Vietnam War for protest movements and for troops deployed overseas.
Joining us now to share some songs from the Vietnam War era is Doug Bradley. He's a Vietnam vet and former Army journalist. His forthcoming book with Craig Werner is called We Gotta Get Out of This Place. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Veronica. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a bit about why music is so important for troops and was so important for those troops in the Vietnam War.
Well, there's a variety of different answers to that, but the main one is the music was so good. It was so prevalent, and we all listened to the same music. Radio was our internet then, and we all listened to the same songs, the same formats, the same artists. And there was something about that that connected us as a generation. And for a lot of Vietnam vets that Craig and I have interviewed, it was a way for them to sort of understand their experience, to begin to express what went on, and for them to heal and get back home.
And in some ways, the words probably had different meanings if you were in Vietnam, too, I would think.
It's absolutely amazing to realize how right you are, Mike, and how often that happened. Of course, you can think of obvious songs, Leaving on a Jet Plane, Otis Redding's Dock of the Bay, because even though they're not necessarily about Vietnam, you can see how they would for a husband and wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend separating, or for somebody waiting to go from San Francisco, where a lot of us departed from, to go to Vietnam. But there are other songs, some of which maybe we'll play some cuts from and we'll talk about, and maybe some listeners will call in about, that really had several layers of meaning, depending on where you were at that time in your life, especially depending where you were in Vietnam.
What's an example of a song like that had layers?
Well, one of the great examples that we use is Chain of Fools by Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin was, you know, the queen of soul at the time, hit after hit after hit. And Chain of Fools was one of her big hit records. If you were in America at that point and heard that song, it's about a woman getting tired of the guy sort of leading her around. We had a lot of those songs by feisty women. Aretha was one of the best. If you were black in America at that time, that song was about the civil rights movement. And you understood that. As an African-American in this country, if you were a black soldier in Vietnam and heard that song, it was about the chain of command, and it was about the breaking down of the chain of command, particularly as it affected the sort of racial disparity that we had in America that was also prevalent in the Army. So a song that we all enjoy, could listen to, tap our feet to and dance. Takes on a whole nother kind of complexity.
Well, let's listen to it and see if we hear it differently now. So here's Chain of Fools. Now, as I listen to Chain of Fools, as your first example, one of the things that I realize is, and I think you've written about this before, is that there are a lot of stereotypes of the kind of music that people listen to in the 60s that are perpetrated by movies. Isn't that true?
Absolutely true. In fact, there are really very few good Vietnam movie soundtracks. Everybody thinks of Good Morning Vietnam, which has more than its share. It's a bit cliched the way we see it now and hear it now. And that's why you don't get a lot of songs like the one we just talked about. And that line that comes up in there with Aretha says, the chain's going to break, was, heard, like I said, very strongly by black soldiers in Vietnam.
Now, what's one of the most stereotyped songs that you hear all the time?
Well, you hear a number of things all the time. One of them that we end up talking about quite a bit is Leaving on a Jet Plane, because of the message that's inherent in that.
Yeah, but that probably, I mean, people wanted to rock, I guess.
Well,
that song was sad, and I'm sure
it
was
remains
moving,
that way. You hear a lot of Creedence. I mean, Fortunate Son is something I think is in almost in every film. Forrest Gump, But the wonderful thing about it is it does fit. And Creedence was one of those groups in Vietnam that sort of went across barriers. Country guys could like Creedence. Guys that like soul could like Creedence. the sort of stoners, the guys that like the Doors, could like Creedence. so it really fits, even though it's played a lot. But in the case of Creedence, it works because they were a real important band and they had something to say. And John Fogerty had been drafted, ended up getting a medical discharge when he was in the service.
Could we listen to Fortunate Son a little bit? Because maybe people don't know that by the name, but if you hear it, you'll know it. So.
Interesting with these songs, you know, people were listening to them who weren't in Vietnam, you know, the counterculture was listening to them, and yet they meant something different if you were in Vietnam. Was it just happenstance that you could read these things into them, or was there something, I don't know, sort of something zeitgeisty going on that even though someone might not have written the song explicitly about Vietnam, that Vietnam War ended up infusing that song anyway?
I think that's true. I think it's a little bit of both. I do think, as we know, you talked a little bit about protest music, and everybody hears For What It's Worth and thinks it's a quintessential, the Buffalo Springfield song, protest song of the era, which wasn't written about student protest, wasn't written about the Vietnam War. But that's, like you said, that's how it sort of came to pass. The same with some of the songs that we're talking about now. The other interesting thing is that, you know, in some ways the counterculture generation got drafted too. I mean, there weren't a whole lot of ways out of that, especially when you lost your student deferment. And even though the people that fought the war were mainly the middle class and the working class, there were a lot of us who listened to all kinds of music. Some of it infused with Vietnam lyrics, some not, that enjoyed it and listened to it and sort of read into it.
How do you feel when you hear these songs today? Because these are songs you heard during one of the most potent times in your life, true for a lot of the people who are serving in Vietnam. Do they still kind of click something on into you and make you remember when you hear them?
Absolutely. I mean, I think music can do that anyway. If you're listening to Andy Williams this time of year and you hear him break into that song, it's the most wonderful time of the year. You go, oh my God, I don't want to hear that again. But you know when you heard that song or if you heard Silent Night. It's the same thing with this, and it puts you back in that place, especially if you're in a war and in a stressful time. But I think what's important is that these music-based memories have enabled a lot of vets that we've talked to finally be able to tell their story, to maybe understand what they've been through, and to get back home and hopefully heal in the process, because we did a lousy job of that with Vietnam veterans.
Is that because these songs they're kind of like a safe space for these vets?
I think that's part of it. I also think it's because it's just who they were. It resonates with them in terms of the kind of person they were, maybe before they went or while they were there, when they came back home. You know, sometimes that can be bittersweet. But as I said, I think part of that can be healing and helpful.
So what are some other unlikely songs that would be more characteristic of the times that you've surfaced?
Well, there's a song called Detroit City by a country singer named Bobby Bear. I didn't know that song. I didn't listen to a lot of country music when I grew up. I've gotten to appreciate it a lot more. And that song, because it's got a line in there, I Want to Go Home, was played and played and played and played. It was out in the mid-60s. You know, I never heard the song. But boy, you could not go to a jukebox or maybe hear a band covering some music in Vietnam and not hear that song. Sloop John B. was another one.
Yeah, I think a lot of Beach Boys, like, wouldn't it be nice?
I Want to Go Home.
Like that.
Line, yeah. You know, and we got to get out of this place. It's just like the quintessential Vietnam song. It was originally written for the Righteous Brothers. Was not about Vietnam or getting out of Vietnam. It ended up becoming the anthem for Vietnam vets, Vietnam soldiers. And now it's played at all Vietnam vets reunions because it was this whole notion of, you know, we want to get out of this place alive. We want to get back home. We want to be with our families. We want to be safe.
We're talking with Doug Bradley right now about the music of the Vietnam War era, and you can join the show. Are you a Vietnam War veteran, and was there a song that was especially meaningful for you? Or as a civilian, what songs captured that time in history for you? You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We continue our conversation with Doug Bradley. He's sharing some songs from the Vietnam War era and talking about what they meant to troops and civilians.
And you can call in with your song suggestions and your questions, your memories, and what these songs may have meant to you. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Doug, we're listening to little Marvin Gaye here.
Spectacular.
This one's got to hold some memories, huh?
It has a ton, not just for the kind of wonderful breakthrough song it was, but what's interesting is the entire album, it's a concept album called What's Going On, and it is based on Marvin Gaye's brother's Frankie's experience in Vietnam. Frankie Gaye was in Vietnam while Marvin Gaye was a star. They corresponded. When Frankie got home, he sat down with Marvin for like 24 hours straight. Marvin wanted to hear all about the experience and wrote about it. And if you listen to What's Going On as it moves from song to song to song, from this song to What's Happening, Brother, it ends with Inner City Blues. It's all about Frankie's trying to get back into America. Mm. Fantastic.
We're talking about music from the Vietnam War era with Doug Bradley, and you can join the conversation. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or you can email at talk@wpr.org. Let's go to the phones now. Rich in Barron, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's better than being called a barren rich.
That's true. That's a good point. So so do you have memories of the Vietnam era and music that you listen to?
Yes. In 71, towards the end of Vietnam, though, my draft number was 83. Well, I really didn't want to go to Vietnam and get shot at, so I found out from the Army that if I enlisted for 3, I could pick where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. So I picked military police and Europe. I ended up Germany, and I say I was 110 miles behind enemy lines, which was West Berlin.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I got there March 72, and then later 72, being military police, I almost got to go to Munich for the 72 Olympics after that terrorist attack.
So what kind of music did you hear in Berlin? Did you have you had English language radio stations you listened to, or military, you know?
Oh, yeah. We had Armed Forces Radio and Armed Forces TV. So it would be the same songs that stretched across to Vietnam. Ones that would be requested every now and then would be We Got to Get Out of This Place by the Animals. And then quite a few times I worked at Checkpoint Charlie, and someone would always request, since our little shack was in the middle of the street, a song by Luden Wainwright III of Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road.
And it's stinking to high heaven.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Rich, thanks for that call. Dead Skunk, Rich. In the Middle of the Road. I remember that
when I was
a kid.
Loudon Wainwright.
And you can hear. You can definitely hear some political stuff going
absolutely,
on there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so what would that song be talking about? You got the dead rat. I mean, just the...
It's sort of like maybe a waist deep in the Big Muddy kind of thing. You know, we've got this dead stuff in the middle of the road.
And we're sort of stuck in this thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to Rich.
Thanks, Rich.
And let's go next to Eric joining us in Madison. Hi, Eric.
Hello. Am I on?
Yes, you are. What do you think about a memory of this music?
Well, first of all, I wanted to thank Doug for his service.
Thank you.
I'm too young actually to have a memory, but my connection is that while living in New York City, I acted in and produced a play about the Vietnam War. It's Still Life by Emily Mann, which is a great piece of writing.
Wow.
And we had to come up with the soundtrack ourselves for the play, you know, to fill some of the gaps. And the one that really resonated with me, and I wanted to know from Doug if it was legitimate. I won't remember the name of the song, but it was by Country Joe.
Sure,
and,
absolutely.
There was one famous song off this soundtrack that we played as sort of our anthem at the beginning of the play, and it as an actor, it really brought up a lot of emotions for me. But I don't really know the history.
Well, Eric, thanks for that call. And actually, we have a little bit of that. Let's play that first, so people know
Great. The
song before we talk about
Super.
It.
Super.
Well, come on, all of you big, strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books and pick up a gun. We're going to have a whole lot of fun.
Now, Doug Bradley, I mean, there are some people who might think that that would not be something that, that vets would want to be listening to.
You're
it's
right, absolutely
song,
about
right?
that, Mike, and I'm sure there are still some that don't. But we had a chance to interview Country Joe out in San Francisco a few years ago, specifically about this song and his career. And he was a Navy veteran. He had been in the military, and he intended the song as sort of a gallows humor. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's one thing you've learned about guys in the, and women in the military is that there's a lot of gallows humor because you want to laugh about your situation. You sort of make it kind of exaggerated and dark. And that's what Joe was doing with this song. But, of course, given the context and the volatility of the Vietnam era, it was only seen and heard one way.
Right.
So it's really kind of interesting because we've had colonels, gung-ho, you know, fighters say that they like the song and they like what Country Joe was doing.
And that song was famously played at Woodstock, right?
Yes,
So a lot of people think that it's more of an anti-war.
Absolutely. And yet it resonates. And I'm not saying with everybody, but it's a song that comes up a lot in our interviews. And like I said, it's not completely disparaged by GIs in Vietnam and Vietnam vets.
And that song, The Fixin' to Die Rag, by the way, by Country Joe that we just heard. And you're talking about how this music, even today, can raise people's ire. And there are people who say that even today we're still fighting the Vietnam War or aspects of that era. We're still playing that out in American politics and culture. Do you think that's true of the music, too?
I think it can be. I think the great thing is that the music sort of somehow finds a way to, I won't say completely eliminate it, but diminish it. And I think it's because, like I said, whether you served, or you stayed, or you left, or you hid, or you deferred, like Dick Cheney. We all had the same soundtrack. We listened to the same music. We felt some of the same things. We were involved in all of the same tumult, and I think that connects us now in ways that maybe we didn't see back then. But I agree with your earlier point, Veronica, and that is that in many ways we're still fighting this war, and I think part of that has to do with the lack of recognition and homecoming and welcome that we gave a lot of the Vietnam vets. It, they didn't have to bear the burden of all of the downside of that war, and they have. I mean, we didn't help bring them home. The music, can.
Yeah, let's take one more call. Bob from Grafton. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
I was in Vietnam from 1968 to 70.
Welcome home.
Up in I'm sorry, what?
I said welcome home.
Thank you. And then I was in Khan Juk in the Brunsack secret zone. And in fact, when I was in the South, the only music I could hear or any radio I could hear was basically from Hanoi.
Hanoi Hannah.
And the only song I remember, this is horrible to say, is Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Are Meant for Walking.
What's horrible?
Did you like that song? Did you like
it? I like it because I was in the Phoenix program, if you know what that is.
Yep.
And frankly, it was the only American music or people I got to talk to.
And so was the intent of playing that song to convince you to walk away from the war? Was that like some sort of a site?
I was a volunteer during the Vietnam War, and I was an older man when I went in. I was 26 when I went in. So I didn't particularly believe in the war, but I had a special skill that was very useful for the military. So, I just thought it was kind of, a fun song. And bear in mind, if you're isolated, you have no Americans or people who speak English. There's
right.
No first language. That's actually, they used to play that quite a bit on the Hanoi radio.
That's a song, Bob. Thanks for the call and for your service. That's a song that comes up a lot. And Nancy Sinatra has appeared. She went to Vietnam during the war. One of the few artists that did. And then, she sings and participates at a lot of Vietnam vet reunions. She's still really popular, and that song's still popular. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you, Bob, so much for that call. And in our last minute here, Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Let's hear a little bit of that. This is another one that has some special meaning. Doug, can you leave us with some thoughts about this?
Well, I mean, it really speaks for itself. I mean, regrettably, Otis, passed here in Lake Monona. But This is a song about loneliness, waiting to go 2,000 miles from home to make this dock. It's the kind of song that if you were in Vietnam, you were going to Vietnam, you were coming back from Vietnam. It struck a chord with you. It still does.
Well, I think we'll all be listening to these songs a little differently after this. Thank you so much for joining us,
Thank
Doug.
You.
That was Doug Bradley, Vietnam veteran and former Army journalist. His forthcoming book with Craig Werner is called We Gotta Get Out of This Place.